Let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, this morning. Today's September the 25th, 2022. We're going to Philippians, chapter 3. One of the ladies at the retirement center that I have the privilege of sharing God's word with, her name is Billy. And this past Wednesday, she said something to me that really inspired me. And I'm going to share that with you in a little bit. We're going to Philippians chapter 3. These two verses might be familiar to you. The past is over. Can't go back. Can't change it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, this one thing I do, but it has two parts to it. You know, it's sort of like when you read where it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's kind of a two-parter. There's other places. Put off the old man, put on the new man. God's word says, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Isn't that interesting? The race that's... There's a couple of places in God's word where life itself is figuratively spoken of as a race. Keep your finger here and back up to 1 Corinthians 9, just to see this analogy that comes up. Paints a word picture for us in 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. Now, Paul wasn't trying to encourage everyone to be marathon runners. It's an analogy about life. Run that you may obtain. So back to Philippians chapter 3. Pretty hard to run in a race if you're looking backwards. Run two steps and then turn around and look behind. Run three more steps, turn around and look. It's pretty hard to run. Verse 13 of Philippians 3 again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We forget the things that are behind, not the blessings, not the things God has done for us, because God's word says, forget not all of his benefits. That's not what we forget. And this morning, I'd like to consider three things that are behind that we can choose to leave behind. And the first is pretty obvious, and I think a lot of times we think about it when we read this verse. Forgetting those things which are behind, that would be our junk, our mistakes, when we messed up, the bad stuff that we've done. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and preached, and you can read that in Acts chapter 2. And he was preaching about Jesus Christ, and he very boldly said to those people, whom you crucified, God raised him from the dead. Those people he was speaking to were the ones that were yelling, crucify him, crucify him. You know, and Pilate's like, why? What has he done? Crucify him. His blood be on us and on our children. Not a very good thing. That's some junk in the past. And Peter was preaching Jesus Christ and said, you know, you crucified him. And so after his message, the people had said they were kind of really got in the heart, and they said, what do we do? You know, they realized that that was not the best thing to do. And, you know, that's some pretty bad past. So when they asked Peter, you know, what shall we do? He said, live your life in shame for what you've done. Go around guilty forever. you crucified him, you did all that. No, Peter said repent, and the word repent means to change your mind. And they needed to change their mind concerning Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. They were given an opportunity to start over. And you know, with God, you can always start over. You can always begin anew with God. And Peter gave them that opportunity to put that ugly past behind them. And you know what? It says like 3,000 of them said, okay. Now, since we're talking about Peter standing up there preaching, a month and a half before, not very long before, Peter was swearing, I don't know him, never heard of him. That's some ugly past, right? And Peter could have spent the rest of his life in shame, in guilt, in condemnation for denying Jesus Christ, for swearing that he didn't even know him. But he didn't, thank God. The past is over. No matter what we've done in our lives in the past, it's not about the past. It's where do we want to go today? Today is a brand new day. Now, we're reading here in Philippians 3, which the Apostle Paul wrote by revelation, and the Apostle Paul had some junk in his past to get over, more than any of us could even imagine. Before he got born again, before he became a Christian, he was like head of those who were, well, persecuting Christians is kind of a soft way of saying it. Paul was very instrumental in having people arrested, beaten, and killed. He killed Christians, God's people. And he wrote in another epistle, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That's some pretty ugly past, isn't it? And yet, this man went from killing Christians to being one of the greatest believers of all time. How did he get to that point? How did he do that? How did he overcome the guilt, the shame, condemnation for killing God's people? Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Back up just a bit. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 15, 9, Paul said, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be even called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But, and here it is, here's the key. By the grace of God, I am who I am. And his grace, God's grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. That's how Paul did it, and that's how any Christian can do it. It's the only way. And of course, grace means undeserved favor. You don't deserve it. You couldn't earn it. It's just here. This is for you. Paul understood God's grace. He said, by God's grace, I am who I am. And notice that he didn't say, by my long prayers, by my absolute commitment, I am who I am. By my great study of the scriptures, I am who I am. By my enduring sufferings, I am who I am. By my being so faithful to teach, I am who I am. No. By the grace of God, what God gave me, that's who I am. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would. See, so much of Christianity has it backwards. And by that I mean, you know, and I did once, long before I knew anything about the Bible, because of something, I made all these promises to God, and I'm going to do this every day, and I'm going to do that every day. And that's what religion teaches many times. If you do enough good works, if you pray hard enough, if you pray long enough, if you love big enough, then God will bring favor into your life. And it's backwards. God's already done his part with his grace. It says in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, there's grace again, wherein he, God, made us accepted in the beloved. We're accepted. In whom we have redemption. We have it. Through his blood, meaning Jesus died for us. And we also have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's just given to us. Paul built his spiritual life on who God made him to be in the new birth, the grace that God bestowed upon him. By his grace, I am who I am. By his grace, you are who you are. You know, when a person gets born again, meaning they confess or acknowledge the Lord Jesus, that he's Lord of all people, and believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead, at that moment, God's word says you are saved, and you have everything that God says you have. We're accepted. There's people that might not accept you, right? God accepts you, period. God has redeemed us, meaning bought us back, bought and paid for us. We belong to God. And we have forgiveness. Look at Colossians 2, just a little farther along. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, Colossians 2, 13. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, the big ones, the little ones, the ugly ones, the not so ugly ones, all trespasses, all of them. Isn't that amazing? Paul did not allow guilt, shame, condemnation, sin consciousness over what he had done in the past to rule his life. He had to get to the point of forgetting those things which are behind and believe and accept that he was who God said he was. And it's true for all of us. The only way to get rid of guilt, shame, and condemnation and all that is by accepting God's grace, by saying, okay, I believe what God did for me. Accepting what God did for us, and what he did for us is because Jesus Christ accomplished it for us. Accepting God's forgiveness and accepting who we really are in God's eyes, accepting his grace is the only way. And look at the benefit. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 20. It says, for if our heart, 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. If our heart, us, if our heart condemns us, the word condemn means to point the finger, to accuse. So if we are pointing the finger at ourselves, accusing ourselves, I'm so screwed up, I messed up so bad, I did all this stuff. If our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. The next verse says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we what?
Confidence
toward God. Boy, what a great key to a prayer life. It's pretty hard to go to God in prayer if you're condemning yourself, finding fault. If our heart condemn us, well, how do I get to the point where my heart isn't condemning myself? By accepting his grace, his forgiveness, that he's accepted you, that you're redeemed, that you're forgiven. You know, a person can know how good God is. Oh, yes, God is good. God is love. You can know verses. You can quote verses. You can memorize verses. But people can also, at the same time, be at the point of saying, yeah, but why would God do that for me? Why would God want to do anything for me? Because I've messed up so bad. I can't even believe I'm alive. Why would God want to do anything? So there's the heart condemning ourselves. And It messes up our prayer life. It ruins our confidence to God to trust Him and believe His promises that He has given to us. We have forgiveness, period. And you know why? Not because we're so sorry. God forgiving a person is not based on them saying, I'm just so sorry. It's not based on promising God, I will never do that again. Now, people do that. I'm so sorry. I'm never good. God, I promise I'll never do that. We don't get forgiveness that way. We have forgiveness because God said Jesus Christ is the full payment for everybody's sins, for the sins of the whole world. They're paid for. Do I believe that? Do I believe my sins were paid for? Did I deserve it? No. Could I earn it? No. But God did that for us. We just read He's forgiven us all trespasses. My goodness. So Paul chose to accept God's grace, to accept God's love, to accept God's forgiveness. That's how he did it. So let's go back to Philippians chapter 3. We're looking at three things this morning that we can put behind. Philippians 3:13 again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have to let go of the past and focus on now. Where are you going now? And sometimes it takes work to forget those things that are behind, to accept God's forgiveness. Sometimes you have to forgive yourself. Right? But we put it behind us and accept God's forgiveness, because the battle's always going to be in the mind. And when we find that our heart is condemning us, we've just got to stop and say, that's not right. Is God condemning you? Read in Romans 8 where it says, who is he that condemns? Who is he that's going to lay any charge to God's elect? God that justified you? Who's condemning you? Christ that died for you? If God's not condemning you, if Christ isn't condemning you, what are you doing? See, it's all back to God's word, and that's how Paul did it. So that's the first one. We forget, put behind our junk. The second point is, what about forgetting the things other people have done to you that hurt you? Oh, why carry that baggage around for your whole life, right? Is it healthy? Nope. Carrying bitterness, anger, animosity towards someone, even if they were totally wrong, not forgiving someone is physically and emotionally harmful. From the medical standpoint, research shows that anger can adversely affect your immune system. From a medical study, quote, anger, frustration, and sadness can take away your youth thanks to an increase in the stress hormone cortisol. An increase in cortisol has been shown to shorten telomeres. Don't know if I pronounced that right. Anyway, it says they're located on the tips of your DNA, and they're linked to biological aging. A 2011 study from the Journal of Biological Psychology found that forgiveness reduced cortisol response. And from John Hopkins, studies have found that the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health, lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels and sleep, and reducing pain, blood pressure, and levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. Forgiveness. God wrote about that 2,000 years ago, Ephesians chapter 4. You probably know what verse I'm going to, but, you know, the medical profession discovering these things and the benefits of what God's word has told us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, probably familiar. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. What a great verse that is. See, that has both your junk and their junk. They're both in there. We forgive others for the junk they did to us, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us for the junk we did. Isn't that a beautiful verse? It's wonderful. The things that you've done that you need to accept forgiveness for in the past, as well as the things people have done to you, we are to forgive. That's what God said. And, you know, that can be whoever, old bosses, co-workers, family people, friends. Not my friend anymore. Jerk. Oh. You know, three main reasons people don't forgive others. One, because they don't deserve it. Yeah. And besides, they haven't changed a bit. I ain't forgiving them. Number two, they're not even sorry for what they did. I mean, they haven't apologized. They're not even sorry. They don't care. And number three, forgiving someone excuses what they did. You can't find any of those reasons in God's word. I mean, we just read here, it said forgiving one another. It doesn't say unless they're not sorry. Unless they've made amends. Remember Peter asked Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Like seven times? And Jesus said, well, why don't you try seven times 70? That didn't mean for Peter to carry a calculator around. Keep it up. You got one left. And I think about Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, brutally beaten, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I would have said something else. But there it is in God's word. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Look at Colossians, a couple books over. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians 3, verse 8, it says, now ye also put off all these things. Just put this stuff away from you. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. It's not going to be good for you. Get rid of it. Lie not one to another, seeing you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You know, sometimes it's sad, but sometimes believers, born again ones, carry that baggage of not forgiving someone for years. For years. You know? And they say, well, you know, I've forgiven them, but it's all kind of a conditional forgiveness, which God doesn't do, and we shouldn't either, because we're supposed to be imitators of God as dear children. And I think we're all aware that loving and forgiving someone does not condone their actions. It doesn't mean what they did was okay. And as you know, there are times when we just have to maybe graciously excuse ourselves and sort of, you know, leave the premises, if you will. But God's word still says that we need to forget those things. So that means we need to forgive and put it behind us and reach forth to those things that are ahead. One of the best ways to not forgive someone, best way to not forgive someone, is to replay it in your mind. And sometimes people carry that for years. Yeah, I remember what they did to me 10 years ago. You know, I was just standing right there and they didn't. It just, why do we want to replay it? What's the benefit? What's the profit? Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are ahead. We just forgive and let it go. How would we like it if we went to God in prayer and God would respond by, yeah, well, you know, I'm just thinking about that thing you did 7 years ago. You remember that? Remember? God would never do that to us. Why would we want to allow our mind to bring up that stuff? So the first two, forgetting those things that are behind. We accept God's grace and forgiveness. Forget your junk. Put your past behind you. Start a new day. Secondly, forgive others. Forget their past and move ahead. A new start. Now the third one, we don't think about this very often. Sometimes people get discouraged, even depressed, by thinking about the good old days. The times when things were really, really much better than they are today. Because today might not be as great as it was back then. And that can be from a number of different things. Situations change in our lives. Sometimes we lose a loved one. A lot of different scenarios with this. Our bodies, maybe not quite as strong as they were 10 years ago. Right? A lot of things. Yes, we do remember the things that God has done for us in the past, His blessings. It's very good to remember how God blessed us in the past, because if He blessed us in the past, He'll still bless us now. It gives us the confidence to trust Him. But we still can't go back there. We can't go back into the past, those good old days. And being discouraged today because we're not having those good old days can be, it's discouraging. It can be depressing. And we got time. Go to Psalm 77. I was going to just tell you that you might want to read it, but why don't we read it? It's not that long, but it really makes the point that I'm making now. Good to remember how God blessed us in the past, because that gives us confidence that He will continue to bless us. Good to remember the times God healed us, gives us confidence that He will heal us now. Good to remember how God did this back then, because He's still the same God. He can do it. But this poor soul in Psalm 77 was just horribly depressed and discouraged. Psalm 77, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Nothing you could say that can bring any comfort to me. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Can you see the discouragement here? Overwhelmed, refused to be comforted. Thou holdest my eyes waking. I'm so troubled I cannot speak. Isn't that sad? I've considered the days of old. Oh yeah, when I think back to the good old days, the times when everything was going well and I was so blessed and everything. We can all think of those times, but you know what? We can't go back. It's the past. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? God doesn't care about me anymore, does He? Will He be favorable no more? No more favor from God to me. Is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Maybe He's angry. Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Maybe God's just mad at me. That's why I can't get help. I can't get an answer. Finally, verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity. All of that kind of thinking, that was his infirmity. But, and now here's a mental shift. I'll remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'm going to remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember thy wonders of old. I'll meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. He is shifting from how miserable he is with his situation. And it doesn't mean his situation wasn't miserable. I mean, if it wasn't miserable, he wouldn't have been in this shape, would he? But his shift, it's a mental shift from totally looking at how miserable he is to looking at the power of God and God's great power, God's great deliverance. Verse 12 again, I'll meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Back when he was so miserable, he was like, oh, his promises don't work anymore. His mercy's gone. Now look at him. Thy way, O God's in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God that does wonders. You have declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a shout. Thine arrows went abroad. Thy voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Wow. See the shift? Absolutely. So for us, what about today for you and me? Every morning that we wake up, it's a new day and it can be a new start for us. Regardless of our situations that we find ourselves in, regardless of our limitations, regardless of what's going on, it's still a new day and it still could be a new start because God is still God. And he hasn't changed. Our situation may have changed from where it was yesterday. That's the past too. Our situation may have changed from where it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, but God doesn't change. His promises are still true. We can't live yesterday, but we can certainly live for him today. So let me tell you about Billy. Her name is Billy Wright. She's just a wonderful lady. She's been involved with the Bible Fellowship I do at the Retirement Center since I started, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. Very sweet lady. I talk to her off and on. And she got a big change coming up. She needs to move from her two-bedroom apartment over there to assisted living. It's a different complex, different people, different dining room. And she told me, you know, it's really small. It's a little small one bedroom. She said it's kind of like living in a camper. So that's a big change from two bedroom apartment, right? She doesn't drive anymore. And I remember when she finally stopped driving. And if you know of people who stop driving, that's really hard on them. So that happened a little while back. She's 93. And her walking has not been good in the past 3 or 4 months. So she's finally got a little scooter, but she can't walk on her own. She needs a walker or something. And so what she told me was, she was talking about moving over there. She said to me, you know what? God's going with me over there. And she said, I just know God has something for me to do over there in that complex. She said, I think God has someone over there that I need to reach and speak God's word to. She said, sometimes older people sit around and just grumble and complain. She said, I believe God's got something for me to do. And I think you can see why that inspired me. Quite a change that she's going through. She's embarking on her new start with God as she's going to endeavor to leave that past behind. I'm not saying it's easy, but she is, well, we'll close in Philippians 3. We'll read it one more time. And when she told me this, this is what I thought of. I thought of Philippians 3. I thought, this is what she's doing. Philippians 3:13 again. This is, we'll close with this. We can forget our junk, we can forget their junk, and instead of being discouraged and longing for those days, we can live each day as a new start, trusting God. 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, you are a God of love, a God of grace, a God of great forgiveness and mercy. We thank you and praise you today for all that Jesus Christ accomplished for us and in us, that we could be your sons and daughters. We thank you that we're accepted, that we're redeemed, and that you've forgiven us all trespasses. Thank you, Father, for being a God of answered prayer, that your ears are indeed open to our prayers. May we put our confidence and trust in you as we put the past behind and look to you each and every day, because your promises are true and you are a God who nothing can ever separate us from your love. So, Father, I just pray for everyone here in this room today, everyone on the phone hookup. I pray, Father, that all of us, myself included, we can put our trust in the living God, the God of power, the God of miracles, and that, Father, we put our trust in you, that you will provide as you've promised in your word, and that we can day by day, each day, make it a new start with you. And I thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.